God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, along with host
Aaron,
the Devil's Advocate Bradley, and our Apostle Louis Young. God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, Dirty Church Radio, along with host Apostle Louis Young, and our brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Bradley. Be blessed by this song.
From the day I was born, I've been searching, even in the storms, trying to find you. Everywhere I look, it seems to get too far.
Right now, God bless you, Apostle.
Grace and peace.
I hope everybody's doing all right. Looking forward to digging into this topic on tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you know what, everyone? Tonight's topic, if you haven't read the blog, if you have not seen the advertisement for this episode is demonic or crazy. What's the difference? Demonic or crazy? What's the difference? Do we know the difference? Is there a difference between the demonic and someone who may just need to take their medicine? Or do they need to take their medicine because it's a demonic force behind it? We want to really dig into this, and we really want you to call in tonight. We want preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, business owners, husbands, wives, grandfathers, grandmothers, aunties, uncles, brothers, sisters, friends, to call in tonight on this topic. We know we, in this world we're living in, it's very wicked. It's a lot of bad things going on, along with some good things. I'm not going to say everything that is taking place is all bad, but what's going on bad in this world, you see that more advertised. It's right out in your face. And there's so much stuff going on. Our young brothers are being killed like someone is playing a video game. Like they can, it's just happening so much. There's a strong, wicked presence that is in the atmosphere of this world. And it's coming through like a tornado. It's tearing the hearts of families. It's breaking the hearts of mothers and fathers. The death is just moving on. People are dying with, oh man, I can't even stress this much, Apostle, how many people are just dying here with, mm-hmm. without even a sense of what love is.
That's right.
They're dying over foolishness,
mm-hmm.
over things that they're dying before their time.
Way before their time.
And people be like, oh, well, that's just the will. No, everything ain't the will. Foolishness will take you out of this world before your time.
Yes, it will.
Hmm. And it's a lot of brothers out here that they're playing the role of the fool. And we that have a light, we're meant to shine that light in the midst of darkness. That's what your light is for. Your light is to go into those dark places and to illuminate the atmosphere that someone can find their way to God. They might not find their way to your church or to her church or his church, but it's about finding their way to God. It's not about getting more numbers in our church. We can't be selfish with this witnessing. The main goal is to get them to get a perception of who God is. It's a mother out there right now that's crying, that's hurt, who raised her young son and her daughter the right way. And they'll never see them again. And you know what? The enemy is laughing. He's laughing because a lot of us who have the light or so-called have the light are procrastinating with our gifts. We're not using them the way they're supposed to be used. We think that we go to church and we sing a song and we clap our hands and we go home and we eat a good dinner and that's all to it. And I see you next Sunday. But what are you doing outside of the church building, outside of those four walls? Are you sharing the love of Christ? Are you shining your light? Or does your light just come on inside the four walls, but when you leave the church, you cut the light off because you're ashamed to shine it?
Hmm.
Or because you know you're not living up to what the light requires. It's some real issues right here. And tonight's topic is demonic or crazy. How can we tell the difference? How will we know the difference? Talk to us, Apostle.
Well, this topic tonight is very vital to the issue of stability. First of all, in order to dig into this topic, what we need to do is define what we label as crazy. Basically, a crazy person is somebody that lacks the ability to think in the common sense realm. They may have common sense, but their common sense is seared to a degree to where logic is thrown out the window. All right? Now, there's a difference between a crazy person and a person that may have been born with a mental handicap or a serious mental issue. Now, the difference is, normally, that person is born that way. Then you have a person that opens up a door some kind of way for mental disturbance to enter into their psyche. That's the difference that we're talking about on tonight. Because a person that is born with a mental handicap, to where they maybe because of the handicap they can't talk or they can't think like a normal person thinks. Their mental capability is stunted because of their mental challenge. Their mental capability might be of that of an 8-year-old, and they might be in their 50s. That's a person that is born with a mental handicap. Now, there's no medication that person can take to fix their mind. There's no medication that person can take that will ever make them act like a normal person, because they're born with a mental deficit. A person that is demonically possessed is not born that way. All right? They're not born. When they're first born, they're not acting like a crazy person. They're not acting like a lunatic. It's something that has happened in their life that opened up a portal for those demons to enter into their life and make them act the way they act, make them do the things that they do, make them say the things that they say. All right? And they might take medication to calm those spirits down, but a calm spirit is still a spirit. That person's flesh might be calm, but their spirit is still raging. It's still in control. It might can't do what it want to do and manifest itself the way it wants to because of the medication, but that spirit is still there. You can lay your hands all day on a person that's born with a mental challenge versus laying hands on a person that has a demonic challenge. You'll be able to see the difference, especially if you're anointed to expose those spirits. All right? So there is a difference. There is a difference. When one is labeled crazy, at one point in time they had to have their right mental capacity at one point or another to be labeled as crazy, or to be labeled as mentally disturbed. for them to be labeled crazy or mentally disturbed, at one point in their life, they had to have the full capability of their mind to think properly. All right? You follow where I'm going? You understand what I'm saying?
I just want you to break down the difference where if someone was born, like you was talking about, if they were born that way and they became that way.
Okay, when you're born, when people are born, and I don't like to use this word, but I have to use it to a degree to explain what I'm talking about. All right. Somebody that is mentally, and I hate this word, but I have to, retarded. If they're labeled mentally retarded, that means that it is something in their mind that they were born with that their brain will never fully have the capability of like a normal mind.
Well, let me ask you this question on that. Is it possible that even that could be a demonic spirit passed down through generations?
Yes,
that's possible.
That is possible.
Or a because generational curse.
Some mental disturbances can pass through a bloodline.
Could that be labeled as a generational curse?
It could be, depending on the mental issue. But even that, it separates a person that is born with a mental deficit. That means that if something happened in their makeup, in their genes, that put them in a position to where, okay, I'll give you an example. Like a person that's born that'll never be able to take care of themselves.
Well, let me ask you this question, too, because this was asked to me, too. Someone that's even born with that mind, they're born that way, and they're born mentally disturbed in their mind. And how can that person receive salvation if they don't have the mental capacity to believe and confess? And where will their soul end up if they never confess and believe?
Okay, well, that's a good question. But the Bible also talks about when a person comes into accountability. All right? A child comes into accountability, they say, around the age of 12, 13.
So would you say that a person that never comes into accountability because of their mental state of mind, do they automatically have a path into heaven?
I would say yes, because how could somebody that has no recollection of accountability be held accountable for their life?
Well, let me ask you this. And the reason why I'm asking you this right now, I'm just asking because these are questions that I deal with. For some reason, it seems like when I get into conversations with people, I get asked a lot of questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person that is mentally disturbed, all right, their mind can't concept or, you know, they can't, you know, actually confess or believe because their mind is messed up.
Right.
And if that gives them a pass in, would you say that there are loopholes when it comes to salvation?
I wouldn't call that a loophole. I would call that the Bible being fulfilled. Because God is the one, and when the Bible is speaking, these are the words of God. So God himself is saying, I cannot hold anybody accountable for the deeds that's done in their life if they don't have no sense of accountability.
Well, let me ask you this question.
To give you an example, let me say this. That's just like somebody that's living but really don't even have a brain. They're living, they're breathing, they're functioning, but they really don't even have the mental capability to even know what's right and what's wrong. That's why all their decisions is made by other people. They don't make no decisions for themselves because they don't have the mental capability to make any decisions. So if they don't have the mental capabilities to make any decisions, how can they be accountable when it comes to salvation? Because they don't even have a recollection of what salvation is.
Well, let me ask you, do you believe everyone has a purpose that's born in this world?
Yes. Your purpose can be, everybody has a purpose. Some people's purposes might be larger than others. Some might be smaller than others, but everybody has a purpose.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is just, like, say if a person who, like you said, they can't think for themselves, right? What would you say their purpose is?
Their purpose could be to bring their caregiver to a closer relationship to God. Who's to say that that caregiver wouldn't have a strong connection with God if that person wasn't ever born? That's still purpose.
Could it possibly be also the lack of those in the body of Christ who are not fulfilling their assignments because really that person's purpose is for God to get the glory, but it's for someone in the body of Christ to have faith enough to speak to that mind that's not functioning, and so that mind can be renewed and healed.
That's a good point. But let's be realistic. All right.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, and I feel exactly what you're saying, and I can sit here and say I agree with you, but I really can't because everybody don't fit into that category because there's some people out here that really do have the faith to lay hands on that person and that person gets delivered to where they come out thinking normal, talking normal, having the full capabilities of their mind, having the full control of their mental capabilities. But the thing is, that person might not never meet that person to make that happen. Is it the person that has the gift fault that he didn't never come across that person that could use his gift to get healed? This everything that's done is done to give God glory. Everything. Even that person that is born without their full mental capability. But the purpose is solely up to God. If it's in God's will for him to get glory out of that person getting delivered and getting healed and set free from that mental capability, it's going to happen.
Well, Apostle Young, why are our nursing homes filled with sick people, lame people? Why are our hospitals filled? Why are we not seeing, and I really mean this, why are we not seeing true healing? And I'm not talking about surface healing, like you had a cold, you prayed, and, you know, your cold went away. Why are we not seeing the greater works?
I'm going to tell you, and this is, I'm not, what I'm getting ready to say, I'm not going to sit here and say that God told me to say this. This is strictly Apostle Young speaking. I, Apostle Young, is saying this, not God, me. I truly believe that before it's all said and done, we are going to see real healing. We're going to see the real power of God come back into the church. But that's not going to happen until the real church get on one accord. And everybody is saying and thinking the same thing. Not everybody's divided because of their personal doctrines and all this traditionalism. You know, we're in a place now in kingdom where we need to let all this stuff go so that the things that you are talking about, that you might be desiring to see, real healing, real miracles, real wonders taking place, like the Bible says is supposed to be happening, but it's not happening because it's too many isms and schisms in the church. And I'm talking about... I'm talking about the church holistic. I'm not talking about Baptist, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostals. I'm talking about the church at large.
Could the church's desire for heaven on earth, the material blessings of this world, be one of the reasons why the power of God is not moving through them the way that it should.
It's exactly one of the reasons why. Because we're going against divine rule. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. So that means we have the desire to be flowing in kingdom principles. And when we are flowing in kingdom principles, That's when we're fulfilling our obligation to the Word of God. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Now, the other part of that scripture, it says, and all these other things shall be added unto thee. That's when God is doing his part of the agreement. He's waiting for us to seek after what he is looking for. He wants us to seek after his agenda. When we start seeking after his agenda, then he can do what he needs to do by adding all the other things. So that means the fine cars, the fine homes, the financial stability, all that stuff will come when we start seeking after the kingdom. When we start seeking after the mind of God and getting into the face of God, then we can start getting the things from God. And that's the reason why we don't have power in the church. That's why the so-called anointing in the church is so watered down, is because we have programmed the anointing of God out of the church. And that's why you don't see no real anointing, to where when people come in sick, they walk out healed. And you're not going to see it until we flip this thing around and start getting back into kingdom principles. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We now, start seeking after the things of God, then God will start giving us the things that we desire.
So let me ask you this. Like, say, you know, it says, and then all those other things shall be added. Why is it that, let's say the Lexus or the Benz or the mansion or whatever, why when you obtain those things, that is the tag of so-called prosperity?
Because... unfortunately,
let me put it this way. Let's just say let's say Lexus. We're Christians, or you, whatever your faith is, you believe in God. Let's just say Lexus. Let's just say, and I'm not saying that it is, but let's just say the Lexus dealer or the Benz dealer who owns them are devil worshipers, and they worship Satan, right? But they own the Lexuses and the Benzes, and they make them, and they look nice and everything. Why is it that when a person that's of the faith, when they get one of those things, they look at it as a blessing, when the root maker of it could be of something evil? Do you understand what I'm saying? And they'll call that thing that they just received a blessing, or look at it as prosperity.
Well, we could get deeper into that, because a lot of the products that we use every day to bathe ourselves, to brush our teeth, to groom ourselves, if you do the research, and you know, I'm not trying to be funny, and this here, what I'm getting ready to say, the research is on the internet. So anybody that's listening, if you go online, you can research what I'm getting ready to say. It's alleged, and I use that word very, very loosely, it is alleged that Procter & Gamble is one of the biggest suppliers of bathing products. They have so many different products that they manufacture. I'll be on this radio broadcast all night talking about what mm-hmm. they manufacture. But they are the people, the powers that be at Procter & Gamble are alleged devil worshippers. And again, I use that topic loosely, devil worshippers. Believe it or not, a lot of people that have great success, that have a lot of money, have just got it going on, period. If you run the gauntlet and do the research, some of them have sold their soul to the devil. So to answer your question, you know, we really need to be careful what we label a blessing, and we need to also be careful what we label a curse.
And that's what I was. That's the point I was getting to, and please, no one take me wrong. I'm not saying that Lexus is a devil worshiper or a Benz or having that is wrong. What I was saying is I believe we have to get to the point where we'll know the difference between a bribery of Satan and a blessing of God. And we should not – everything that may look glamorous and everything that may look as great of having in this world – may not be a blessing from the mind of God. And we may call it a blessing, but from God's mind or his perception, that thing that you're claiming as a blessing may not be a blessing as far as he's concerned. Do you understand what I'm saying, Apostle Young?
Yes. In other words, don't let a distraction make you think it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in a way.
Because the devil is the king of distracting. The devil is the king of putting things in front of us and camouflaging it as if it's a blessing. But in all actuality, it's a distraction. Because he knows that if he blesses you with that Lexus, he blesses you with that Mercedes, you're going to work triple time, overtime, to make sure that blessing is paid for, all right? Which to me, if anything that you got to pay for, and I got this here analogy from my dad, rest his soul, Elder Guy Young. My dad was preaching a sermon one time, and he broke this blessing thing down, man. He said, a blessing is something that you ain't got to pay for. When you got to pay for it, that's just God making a way. See, it's a difference in a blessing and God giving or a way being made for you to get something. Because if you got to pay for it, that's a way being made for you to have it. A blessing is when you ain't got to pay for nothing. There ain't no strings attached. You got the title. You got the deed. It's yours. That's a blessing.
Wow.
If somebody walks up to you, Minister Miller, hand you the keys to a brand new SUV, Lincoln Navigator SUV, tell you it's filled up with gas, the title's in the glove box, here's the keys, God bless you. That is a blessing. But if they hand you the keys with a car notebook, and you got to pull that car note tab out every month and pay that bill, that is not a blessing, sir. That is God making a way for you to have some transportation. But it is not a blessing.
Wow. Let me ask you this. question. Have you ever in church heard a demonic tongue?
Oh, yeah. I definitely have heard it. I've seen it. I've heard it. Just like we speak in tongues, the devil have tongues too. And if you ever seen a demon manifesting in a person, they're speaking in tongues.
Apostle Young, now for like all right in church, when you say, would you say you've seen a demon?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you see him with your physical eye or with your spiritual eye?
I've had the opportunity to see both, spiritually and physically. Now, let me clarify this, all right? When I say I've seen a demon physically, I mean I physically have seen demons. Physically. I'm not talking about seeing nothing in the spirit realm, because you can see demons in the spirit realm all the time if you keep your spirit man open to see that. Because I can recall one time I went to this place to drop somebody off at work, and while I was sitting in the car, I could see in the spirit demons hovering over the top of the building.
Now, Apostle Young, according to logic, right, and intellect, right, what you just said right there would be considered crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question, and this was typed on the blog for this show. And I believe Aaron, the devil advocate, he asked this question, but he used it in a different way. If a woman or the women, and I'm just not just using the women, but people that you've been reading on the news who've been killing their children, and they're saying that God told them to do it, would you say that's demonic or is it crazy?
I'm going to say it is demonic, and I'm going to tell you why. And in some cases, it's not crazy, because their God did tell them to do it. All right? Understand now, the devil is a God-like being. He is not the God of gods, but he is a God-like being, and he has subjects, he has worshipers that will do his bidding at his command. So when they said God told them to do it, to a certain degree, they are right, because their God did tell them to do it. But see, my God would not tell nobody to kill their kids. Now, the devil would do something like that, and then have that person say at a news conference that God told them to do it.
Oh.
Is that person crazy? No. Is that person doing the bidding of their God, the devil? Yes. Oh. Of course. Was it a demon guiding them, telling them what to do, how to do it? Of course. Yes.
Now, for those listeners who may not be Christians or may not, you know, be of the faith, or, you know, or they may be of the faith, but they may have different opinions regarding faith or some disagreements or agreeing, whatever. How would you break that down to them if they can't even concept or get a perception of the spiritual realm?
Because right now, this conversation to them would be considered crazy.
Okay.
That we're even having this conversation.
Every human being that's alive is born with a self-preservation mechanism. That means that any individual in their right mind, having their full mental capability, could never do anything to hurt themselves. All right? And then that mechanism becomes stronger when it comes to the area of children. Anybody that has a complete mental stability could never do anything to harm their kids. Never. It can't happen unless there's a serious mental problem in their head. All right, that's number one. All right, so for a person to sit at a conference and tell America and tell the world that they killed their children, all of them, because their God told them to do it, that individual is definitely under the influence of a mind-altering spirit. For them to justify killing their children and saying that God told them to do it, they have a mental lacking in their system. Their mental capability has been altered, and it has been altered by the demise of a foreign being that makes them have the lack of capability to think and function normally. All right, I mean,
can a demon form into a drug? Can a demonic force be a drug?
Yes.
Is crack a spirit?
Yes. Anything that you do that alters right thinking, it is brought about through a demonic force.
All right. Now, we are made up of chemicals. We are chemical beings. And what happens with drugs, when drugs enter our body, it throws off a chemical imbalance. Am I right?
Yes.
It alters your chemical balance. So let's say with this generation of kids that's grown up now in their teens, early 20s, at a certain time, it was a lot of people smoking crack. Drugs still is. Would you say the result of this generation is because of the altering of drugs?
Yes, because babies, kids that was born from the mid-80s through the early 90s, 80% of those kids were born from mothers and fathers that had crack in their system. Not just
crack.
Hold
that thought. We're going to let our brother Aaron on the, into the discussion, our co-host.
Shalom, my brothers.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Assalamu alaikum, my brothers, to you.
God bless you, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, Apostle Young. Respect me, Apostle, respect me.
Grace and peace, my brother. Greetings and salutations.
Don't let me interfere. Go ahead. I know Apostle Young was in the middle of saying something.
Okay, not just crack, cocaine, heroin, mm-hmm. You know, we all kinds of drugs. So, but crack has destroyed a generation of great minds. the potential of great minds has been altered because of that particular drug or that particular demon. And don't get me wrong, all right, we all have choices to make, but the wrong choice can open up the
portal
for demonic oppression and obsession. Because everybody that's dealing with a demon is not possessed by the demon, all right, but they are oppressed by that demon. See, there's a difference in being oppressed by a spirit and possessed by a spirit. When you're possessed by a spirit, that spirit has total control over your thinking, your acting, and what you do in your flesh. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's be clear. So the level of a person's capability is determined by whether or not they are oppressed or possessed. See, a person that's oppressed can take something to relieve the oppression or the depression. They got all kinds of drugs for that. But there ain't no drug for nobody that's demonically possessed. Only drug that's going to fix that is a laying on of hands and casting out that spirit.
All right. I hear everything that you guys said. And it's, I mean, I didn't hear it all. I'm just coming in from a blessed time in the Lord a little while ago. But tonight's topic is, what is it, demonic or crazy? Is that the topic?
Yes.
Okay. And what's
the difference?
Okay. And since I actually wasn't listening because I was in church, what was kind of like some points that you gentlemen were actually getting to?
Go ahead, Apostle Young. You can take it.
Okay. We was making a separation between a person that's demonically possessed and a person that might be mentally challenged or have a mental handicap. A person that has a mental handicap, 98% of these people that are labeled mentally challenged and I said retarded because of a lack of another word, and I don't like to use that word, but it is what it is. 98% of the people that are labeled with those challenges are born that way. All right? To give you an example, a person that's born and they can't feed themselves, they can't bathe themselves, they can't put their clothes on, that person is labeled a vegetable. They're alive, but they have the capability, mental capability of a 2-month-old infant. That person is born that way. All right? So that person can't be labeled demonically possessed because that person is born that way. All right? Versus somebody that opened up a portal, opened up something in their psyche for demonic possession to take place. All right, you understand what I'm saying? That
Yes, sir.
Person that is born the way that they are, there's no pill that they can take to make them think to the capacity of their age.
Gotcha.
There's no pill that they can take that they take it tonight and then they wake up tomorrow and they have the full function capabilities of their brain. That's because that's the way they were born. There's nothing that's going to alter where their brain is at that point in time because that's how they're born.
Okay.
And then I interjected and asked the question of, is it a possibility that it could be a demonic spirit that was transferred from generation to generation? Could that have been a generational curse? Why
okay.
that person is born like that? Is that possible? Or if it's not demonic and it's crazy, is the craziness a generational curse?
Now, somebody for a person to be labeled crazy, they at one point in time had to be sane first. All right? Because if the person has always acted crazy, then they would have been labeled mentally challenged or mentally disturbed. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
All right.
And I'm sorry. So you came with the conclusion of what a mental illness is, what your description of mental illness is. It sounds like to me you were actually talking about retardation, I guess that's the word, I don't know.
Retardation.
There you go. What were you guys' definitions for someone who was demonically possessed?
Okay, I said a person that is demonically possessed got involved or did something for the portal to be opened for them to be demonically possessed.
But what is being demonically possessed?
You have a spirit in you that's making you act the way you act. That's making you act out of your normal character to make you do things that will cause a person to label you as crazy.
Okay.
All right. Now, we're talking about a person that at one point in time had the full capabilities of thinking. They could think for themselves. They could dress for themselves. They can bathe themselves, feed themselves. They went to work every day, went to school, blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden now they're standing out on the street, pointing up at the sky, talking crazy, and they're not bathing. They're just acting like a complete lunatic. Now people are pointing at them and say, I remember when this person was in college, they got a bachelor's degree, they went for their master's, now all of a sudden now they're standing out on the street acting crazy, pulling their hair out, cutting themselves, and mumbling and saying things under their breath like a lunatic. That person could be labeled as demonically possessed.
Okay. All right.
So demonic possessed and demonically oppressed is two different things.
Two different things.
All right, I got some questions.
But now before you ask your question, let me give you an analogy of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You could be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. But you got a problem with your flesh. All right. You might be the type of person, you love God, you live in saved, you know you got the Holy Ghost, but it's something in you, or there's something that's on you, that every now and then you got to go see a hooker.
And you call that demonic oppression?
That's oppression.
Gotcha. All right.
Because you love God.
Could that just be your flesh?
He's saying the reason why your flesh is acting this way because of a demonic oppression that's actually within you.
Well, put it this way. You know what I believe a demonic oppression is? And it could fall under that. I believe it will be the addiction of something that is causing harm to you.
That's the same thing. But see, when you are possessed, all right. See, when you are oppressed, that is not something that you would do on a normal or an everyday. In other words, when you are oppressed by a thing, you don't necessarily succumb to that thing on a regular basis. Every now and then, you succumb to that demon telling you to do it.
And
right.
how that happens, by not staying in the Word, by not fasting, by not praying. And that can happen. That can happen to the greatest of us. I don't care how great you are in God. If you're not careful, you can find yourself in the auspices of being oppressed by a demonic spirit.
Right.
All right. But when you are possessed by a demonic spirit, you have no control over that thing. That thing has total control over you, to where your logic goes out the window. In other words, you can't say to that spirit, I'm not going to do that. I don't care how much you try to tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Now, when you can speak like that to a spirit, that spirit is not in you because you're speaking to it. So that means that spirit is oppressing you. So for it to oppress you, you have a degree of logic to where you can say, I don't care how much you tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. But after a while, if you're not praying, if you're not putting your flesh under subjection, sooner or later, you're going to succumb to that spirit telling you to go out there and get that hooker and do what you want to do with that hooker.
Well, right, let me ask you this.
You are possessed
by
a spirit. You have no control over what you do in your flesh because that spirit has total control. That is when you are possessed by a demon.
So self-mutilation would be self-mutilation. Is it demonic or is it crazy?
It is demonic. Because
what's the difference between demonic and crazy?
It's demonic, which makes it crazy.
What's the difference between the two?
There is no difference. Because for somebody to be crazy, they have to be demonically possessed first.
Okay.
Demonically oppressed first.
I have some questions. You know, everybody knows my position, especially on a topic like this. Everybody knows my position. My position is the opposing side. So I'm just going to ask questions that people who don't believe or people that may have different belief systems would ask. And then I'll try to, you know, make some light out of some of the questions or responses that I get. One question is, what do you say about the people who actually suffer from shell shock?
Shell shock.
Yes. Somebody who was actually in a war and they came back and they weren't in their right minds because of, you know, the experiences that they had when they were in battle.
Okay. Now, I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. I just explained earlier that for a person to be demonically possessed, something in their life had to have happened to open up a portal for them to be demonically possessed.
Okay.
So that
could
be a strong anxiety, right? Like having a strong anxiety about a situation.
It could be anything. It could be them seeing the guts of somebody hanging out over in a war, which opened up a portal for demonic possession. I mean, that might not be a good example, but I'm just saying, to be around death and to be around destruction and to be around the stench of death, that is a portal to open up for demonic possession. If your mind, especially if your mind is not strong enough to deal with it.
All right. How about people who suffer from mental illnesses like bipolar and schizophrenia? How about those people?
Okay, it's still the same thing. A person that is bipolar, before they were labeled bipolar, they already was dealing with anger issues.
Well, a lot of people who suffer from bipolar aren't angry.
Why aren't they?
Because
I know people that have been labeled with bipolar issues?
I know somebody personally who's bipolar, and they aren't angry.
They might not be angry now, but it was something in their life.
But what it does is it shifts their moods. It's something that shifts the mood, whether it's an angry mood or a happy mood or a sad mood. or you know what I mean, or it's a mood shift when you're dealing with bipolar. I'm one way now, and the next second something can alter me. I'm not like I was. That's what bipolar is. And anything can shift that.
Yes.
Anything that happened can shift that.
Yes.
A word that's spoken can shift that. Like anything.
So that's a issue. And because of that issue, that's the result of the issue.
Okay, now my other question is all of these things that you're speaking on, what's your proof behind this?
What's my proof?
Yes.
Because you
were actually making strong claims and saying that these people are actually possessed by demons that no one can actually prove to be true, right? And the only place that you would actually get this from is through religion, and in your situation, through a Christian, very very small sect, charismatic religion.
Well, I'm answering the question from my personal experience dealing with this.
So my question to you is it possible that you could be wrong?
It's possible that all of us are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But this is my thing. All right? When a doctor is labeling somebody as crazy, all right, and they say this person is a lunatic, this person needs to be in Trenton Psychiatric Hospital, all right, what they're doing is giving their opinion on what they think is wrong with the person. Who is to say that they're right?
Well, this would be my question to you. If someone, I'm just talking hypothetically, let's say someone said that you were dying from a very, 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 very dangerous disease, and the person that told you this, now this person told you this, let's say tonight somebody just called you, or you was walking to the store somewhere and somebody said that you're dying from a very, very dangerous disease and it's going to kill you by the morning time or by, let's say, tomorrow night. And let's say yesterday you just went to the doctor and you just had a checkup and your doctor said that everything was fine. Who are you going to take the word? Like, whose word are you going to hold more valuable? The person that just came up to you and said that you're going to die of this very harmful disease, or your doctor that you just spoke to yesterday and said you were perfectly, you know, healthy?
My doctor is going to have tests. My doctor is going to have results of my tests to back up his claim.
So, with that being said, how is it possible that you can take the word of a preacher's belief through a first century book where people totally believed different from how we even think and believe now, over the words of medical doctors and scientists who've actually been studying this for years upon years upon years upon years, and some come up with answers, and they're still looking for answers, and they're still trying to, you know, figure out mental illnesses instead of just closing the door on it, saying that it's a demon. And
well,
only
let me
way
ask,
that
let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you in the grocery store, and the medical doctor walks up to you and tells you you're going to die tonight, okay, are you going to believe what that doctor tells you that don't know you from a can of paint? Are you going to believe what that doctor tells you because he got a degree?
No. What I'm going to do is do exactly what you said. Have common sense. And if this doctor has tests, and if this doctor is proven to be a doctor, and he actually checked me out.
No, I never said nothing about him checking you out.
That ain't what I asked you.
Because you asked me, if somebody walks up to me that don't know me from a can of paint and tells me that I'm going to die tonight.
Who isn't a doctor?
Who isn't a doctor?
Uh-huh.
okay? But right now, we're talking about mental things, all right? We're talking about craziness and demonic. So one is mental and one is spiritual. So you can't talk about demonic without being biblical. So if we're not going to be biblical, then we need to change the subject. Because the subject is demonic and crazy, right?
Okay.
So we can't sit on the phone and talk about demonic and crazy without talking both spiritually and naturally. So
to nullify your point,
I'm not no doctor, so I'm talking from a spiritual aspect.
So my question to someone who is diagnosing somebody through the spiritual aspect, what are your criterias to measure someone if they are actually suffering from a mental illness or if they are suffering from an actual possession of a demon? What type of authority?
Let me interject right here.
I just explained it. If you would have been listening, you would have heard what I said, and it would have explained to you what the difference are.
Hold on 1 second. Let me interject right here. One thing, how you can find out when you're dealing with that, especially if we're going to talk about the Bible and we're going to talk spiritually, we're going to talk naturally. According to the Bible, a person that's in God who walks in power, first of all, the demonic force will acknowledge who they are. And they will, and that demonic force
will give you the proof that they got a spirit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it will let you know, you know what I mean, who it is and what it represents. That's if you're going to go from that angle, how will you know? First of all, in order for you to actually know that someone is demonically possessed, according to the scriptures, someone has to walk in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and come in that person's presence for that person to expose themselves. Just like when Jesus came unto them, unto the demonic force, and he was like, my name is Legion, we are many. You know what I'm saying? And they recognized who Jesus was. You know what I'm saying? So when you're coming from that point of view, it's not until the light steps into what is dark where you can actually see the shadow.
That's totally understandable coming from the point of view of the Bible. I definitely can understand that and agree with that from a Bible's point of view. But we're not necessarily talking about that type of mental illness we're not talking about that type of possession. You're actually referring to, or saying that, what I've heard, I could be mistaken, that these things, crack, not necessarily crack, but the addiction of crack, the addiction of sex and porn, somebody who suffers from bipolar or schizophrenia or shell shock, you're saying all of these are demonic possessions.
Well, listen to this. Let's go, since you got to understand, because we're speaking from both points of view. That's why I want callers to call in and chime in on this. Now, if you're going to speak spiritually, right, if we was to go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, start at the 11th verse, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's letting you know, according to the scriptures, it's a spiritual war. So if a man is stabbing up his wife and his children, most likely, according to the scriptures, it is something spiritual taking place behind the scenes.
Well, how do you know it's something spiritual taking place behind the scenes? You are making some type of assumption.
But
you don't know that for sure.
No, I'm speaking from the Word of God, though.
No, the Word of God doesn't say that. You are using today's situation, and you're saying that it's a spirit behind a man stabbing up his wife. And how do you know that it's a spirit? How do you know that?
Hold up. Let me ask you, devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
What would you call a man that stabs his child, his wife, all his kids? What would you call it?
I don't know. I don't know his situation, but firsthand, I would think that he's crazy. Something's wrong with him, or she cheated.
So if he's crazy,
he lost his mind in some kind of way.
Okay, well, if he lost his mind, how did he lose it?
It could be a lot of ways. Drugs. It could have been something that triggered off. He could have had a mental illness that no one had, you know, had picked up on or knew about. Or he probably had a mental illness and probably wasn't taking his medicine. It could be a lot of reasons why. But why are you asserting it to some mystery, saying that it's a demon or it's possession, when that can't be proven?
Hold up. Listen, check this, though, right? With all the research that the doctors do according to the mind, right,
mm-hmm.
do they have all the answers when it comes to that?
Nope.
No, but you just said now.
Hold up. Listen. You got to understand, like we just said, we can't even have this conversation if you don't bring the word in. Like if you're just going to use the outside angle of it without the word, then this whole conversation is useless.
No, it's not. I'm going to tell you why it's not useless. Because you just said a second ago.
Did you hear what I just read, though?
Yes.
Did you hear what I
just
said?
Hold up, Jay.
Why did I say that, though?
You said a second ago that you can tell the difference between a mental illness and somebody being possessed is by the person who's possessed, the devil or the legion is telling you who they are.
Listen to
now,
this. For we wrestle not.
I know what the scripture says.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
You just contradicted yourself.
No, I didn't. How did I contradict myself when the Bible was telling me that?
Because you just said that a demon-possessed person lets somebody know of the spirit who they are.
I said the demon, not the actual person. The force.
Okay, well, the person has to say it through the – I mean, the demon has to say it through the person.
No, but,
so whether or not it's the person or the demon.
Hold on. Have you ever seen a person possessed by a demon, devil's advocate?
I don't think anybody has.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, brother. I've seen it.
Okay.
I deal with demon-possessed people all the time, sir.
I'm quite sure you do, and I'm quite sure it's a cultural thing than much so a demon.
Nah, brother, wasn't nothing cultural about this here, my friend.
So you tell me your whole situation about the demon. Tell me what happened with the demon.
The demon named himself. The demon said who he was.
Okay.
The demon
was
cast out.
Well, then that right there proves my point, because like Jay just said, that the demon.
This is what Aaron is saying.
A person who goes around killing somebody is not saying that they're demon possessed. They just could be mental. They can have an illness mentally.
No.
But you are asserting that every mental illness, some kind of way, has notions of demonic possession. Or demonic whatever. It has something to do with demons in it.
No, it's a possibility of it.
That's what we said.
The conversation is demonic or crazy.
When you just told me about the person stabbing somebody, you said, what do I think?
And I said, what do you think? But listen to
this.
Let me ask you this. When the tormented man, according to the Bible, right, when the man who was a lunatic, right, and he was going crazy and stuff like that and destroying himself, self-mutilation, all types of crazy stuff to himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who spoke when they said, we are legion, according to the Bible?
The demon spoke.
The demon spoke.
Through the man. I'm not arguing with you on that.
So this is what I'm saying. You asked me, how would we know if it's demonic or not? And I said to you, according to the scriptures, you will know if it's demonic if a person with power of God comes in the presence of a demonic force. The demonic force will expose itself. That's what I said. Maybe nobody with that power
was around that person that killed his wife and all his kids. Maybe if that person with the power was in the vicinity of that person.
They actually don't even believe.
Okay, now let me say this.
Wait, hold on, I didn't hear what he said. Maybe he's around what?
I said maybe, listen, first of all.
No, just say what you were going to say, because I know Apostle had to say something.
Yeah, what I'm saying is like this. What I said is clear. If a person has the power of God and they come in the presence of a person in a demonic force, the demonic force will expose itself. And you asking me, well, what if not? It's evident. It's telling you that if they come in the presence of them and it's not exposing them, that person does not have power.
And then only that, let me also ask you these questions. Do you have any more evidence and, like, you know, showing basically within the Bible what type of quality or what type of, you know, side effects that this person may have to show that this person, you know, is demon-possessed? Because since we're going from the Bible, the only person or the type of things that I know to be demon-possessed is the same type of symptoms that the man over on the island who exposed himself to Christ or Jesus, those were the symptoms. Do you know of any other type of symptoms that the Bible talks about, opposed to you actually asserting symptoms yourself?
So are you referring to the maniac and the Gadarene?
I'm asking you, are there other types of symptoms besides the man that Jesus healed with the legion of demons? Are there any type of other symptoms? Because if not,
how else are you going to show any other type of symptoms? There has to be other symptoms, right? The demon said,
we're legion, or we're many.
My name is legion, for we are many.
Do you know what symptoms are?
No, it's many. Hold up, listen. Wickedness, man. Like, it's so many things that you could think about. Right now, we're talking about someone that is killing kids or whatever, or cutting themselves and destroying themselves.
Yeah,
you can name so many things that could fall under that.
These are symptoms of a possessed man. And the only evidence that you're going off of is from the Bible. So,
are there other symptoms? Let me ask the question, because the Bible never said anything about symptoms, number one.
No, the Bible didn't say it, but you can clearly see the symptoms that the guy had. And
okay,
I'm asking, are there any more symptoms in the Bible? Excuse me?
What symptoms do you clearly see?
Read the passage. I don't have the passage in front of me. I wouldn't know what the symptoms were.
Okay, well, I don't have the passage in front of me.
No, we're about to get that. Y'all go ahead.
This is the question I got to ask the devil's advocate.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, my question is, have you, in your extensive research, heard any psychiatrist, be it great or small, come up with a definitive reason why any lunatic, especially somebody that kills their children and then say God said do it, did they come up with any definitive reason why that person did what they did?
Yes. A lot of times they do. But there are times that they don't.
It's either or. It can't be.
Because it's different for every circumstance and it's different for every single person because everybody's not the same.
Okay, well, I know in psychiatry, all right, I know they do what they call a clinical testing to come up with any generic labeling when it comes to labeling somebody in psychiatry. They do a clinical testing, all right? And the results that they come up in their clinical testing is what they label. That's how they label a person. That's how the word schizophrenia came about, because they did a clinical testing with several thousands of people to come up with the diagnosis of schizophrenia.
Gotcha.
All right. So my point is, did they come up with anything to label why a person would just murder their wife, all of their kids, and then say God said do it?
Like I said, there may be many reasons why.
No. I'm looking for there's over a million psychiatrists that is in America alone.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody come up with a definitive answer why people do the crazy things that they do?
Because
I'm talking about one definitive answer.
It's a lot of definitive answers.
No, you're not listening to me. All right. Tonight we're saying that the Bible is saying that there's one definitive reason why people do the things that they do. And that's because they are demonically possessed. My question to you is, out of all of these millions and millions of psychiatrists, have they come up with one definitive reason why people do the crazy things that they do?
And I'm telling you that psychiatrists come up with many reasons why people do what they do.
I rest my case.
Okay.
I rest my case with that right there. I'd rather have a definitive answer.
It's not a definitive answer. It's a belief.
How can you say it's not a definitive answer?
Because it can't be proven. It's believed. You believe that someone is demonically possessed. It's not proven.
Until you and these psychiatrists can come up with some kind of definitive answer.
They do have definitive answers.
Okay,
I will name you some.
Guess
what? Which is schizophrenia, somebody who suffers lots of mental illnesses that I don't know the names of all of them, but I can say one of them is called schizophrenia.
Could they just be given a name to a demonic influence?
No.
Why not?
Because
why not?
Because demon possession cannot be proven. Because demon possession cannot be proven. It is a belief.
Okay.
Someone believes to be possessed by demons.
All right, let me ask you this. What
I can believe that I'm schizophrenic. So whatever the doctors are saying, they have to believe what the doctors are saying, right?
No, because you just now said that they actually do clinical testing to show how someone is labeled. There is no clinical testing to show if someone's demonically possessed, because there's no proof of it. It's a belief.
Okay, I said they do clinical testing to come up with a label of what they believe is wrong with the person, because it's still the same thing. It's the same thing, my friend. Just like we believe that they're demonically possessed, they believe that the person is schizophrenic. It's the same thing.
Okay, and you know what that would be according to the Bible, all of that, a unclean spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A foul spirit. I mean, according to the Bible, the thing about it, man. See,
well, then you can't separate the two, because unclean spirit means just exactly what it is—an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit can be something as minute as telling my wife a little small white lie, saying that, honey, I didn't actually eat that hamburger.
A lie is a lie.
Exactly, which is an unclean spirit.
And sin is sin.
Exactly. So are you actually comparing?
Are you actually comparing a little white lie to someone who actually kills his family?
Yeah. Are you comparing the two? Are you saying that I am possessed by the same demon that I'm saying that? Honey, I just ate a hamburger, but I really ate a hot dog. Are you saying those are the same demons? Show me proof.
Let's stay on topic because talking about the value of sin, which there is no value because sin is sin. we're getting off topic. We need to stay on topic.
You can use the hot dog and hamburger thing. You know what I'm saying? You can use that, but
of course
we all agree from the beginning, sin is sin.
Exactly.
Sin is sin,
of course, sin is sin. But you are talking about demonic possession.
I'm asking you, is there any type of way that you can prove?
That has nothing to do with it.
If I force you to tell a little white lie that you call it, or it tells you to kill someone, it still comes from the same source.
So my question to you is, well, my response to you would be, prove that. Let me know that that's true, because you're telling me a demonic spirit actually has symptoms, which is what the man on that island did. Now, if you could show me more evidence and proof from the Bible, then we can actually start comparing stuff, and we can see what is demonic. Because we only can go by what the Bible says, and the Bible gives us, well, the very little, I'm not sure of any other ones, but the very little that it tells us about demonic spirits, it
all
lets
right.
us know some of the symptoms
hold
that
up,
it has.
Hold up. All right. Let's take it from that way. And we're about to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we want you to show us what's not demonic, according to whatever information you got.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just to let you know, I am not an expert on anything. I'm not a doctor.
No.
I am not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist.
But I'm saying
that sounds like a cop out to me.
No, you're talking real sure too. So we need you to show us the same.
And
you know
I'm
mean?
Talking sure from experience. I ain't talking sure from a whole bunch of malarkey that I'm talking about from experience. All right, because this is a, and I know what you're getting ready to say. You know, the reason why you can say that is because of what people believe. Oh yeah, you're absolutely correct. Because contrary to popular belief, people believe in demonic spirits. Now, just because you don't, that don't mean they
didn't
don't.
Say I didn't. All I said was I'm taking the side of the people who do not believe.
And hold up, it's not just Christians that believe in it.
Yeah, because you got devil worshippers that believe in demonic spirits.
Not only that, of all different, a whole bunch of people believe in a wicked and evil presence.
Catholics was the first one to label casting out spirits. They call it an exorcism. So, as loose as Catholics are in their Catholicism, they acknowledge the presence and the existence of demonic possession. All right. So, to get back to the topic, there is no significant difference in my estimation. And this is solely my opinion, and it's my opinion from my experience. There is no separation between a demonically possessed person and a crazy person. All right, because any person that is deemed crazy, there is something, whether you want to call it a chemical imbalance or a spiritual possession, that is making them do things that goes against what they would normally do.
So
that will make them be labeled sane versus insane.
Okay, so I was listening to everything that you guys are saying. So my question to you is, the only way you can actually get these demons out, because you're basically calling all of these things demons, the only way you can get them out is somebody who actually has the power to cast these demons out.
Yeah.
Yes?
Or they take a whole bunch of medications to keep them, to keep their flesh so drugged up to where the demon can't function in the flesh anyway. Because the demon to have the ability to manifest, he needs a body.
So basically, what you're saying is that the person doesn't doesn't get cured from it. It just suppresses the demon, basically.
Exactly. That's what.
So
that's
medicine
what,
can actually suppress demons.
I'm saying, of course, in the Bible.
That is
medicine
not what I said.
Medicine can suppress demons.
That is not what I said.
No,
I said the flesh.
To the scriptures.
Okay.
The Bible.
The flesh. Not
okay.
The spirit.
Okay.
Not the demon. The medication only controls the flesh.
Can control the flesh as well. So you're saying that the medication is stronger than the demon? Because the demon can control the flesh as well.
Okay. The demon does control the flesh. But if
so
you give it drugs,
the medicine is stronger than the demon.
When it comes into the flesh. Because the medication makes the body go into an almost comatose state. Because they're sitting there now, and because of the medication, they're sitting there. You ever seen a person on these strong medications that they're getting in these psychiatric hospitals?
That the demon is less powerful than medication. I find that hard to believe as a Christian.
This is what I'm saying, basically, all right, that when medication that's controlling your bodily functions, that's controlling your muscle reactions, that's
the same thing demons do.
Okay, it's the same thing demons do, exactly. That person has to have control over their body for the demon to have possession of the body.
That's totally a huge contradiction, because if the person had control over their body, then that means that the demon won't have control over them because they have control over their body and they can stop it.
Let me ask you this. If I cut your legs off, right, could I control your legs and make them walk?
No, you can't.
No, but I'm saying if I cut your legs off, right?
Yes.
Can you walk if someone was influencing you to walk?
No, I couldn't walk. It would be totally impossible for me to walk.
Impossible.
If you cut my leg off,
all right,
legs to walk with.
Let me ask you this. When a demonic
But it doesn't
force,
stop a demonic
up,
because
up,
demonic
listen,
is...
Hold up, listen to this.
Okay.
When a demonic force comes into the mind, it messes with the mind, right? The mind.
No.
Yes,
what you mean?
It does.
Well, not total. It doesn't just mess with the mind. It messes with the body and everything.
But listen to what I'm saying. In order for it to mess with the body, the fingers, the arms, whatever, doesn't it have to influence the mind first?
I'm quite sure it does.
All right, so what I'm saying, now, if a drug is given to the mind to shut the mind down, how can you influence
have control of the body if the mind is shut down? That's what I was trying to say. Good point, Jay.
Saying you're saying that medication is stronger than a demon. The reason why I'm saying this is because the story of the man who was actually possessed, he wasn't doing normal things a normal human could do. That demon gave him superhuman strength. So he was doing supernatural things that was unheard of. He was actually breaking chains. So I'm saying to you, if that's the case, and these are the symptoms of someone being demonically possessed, then I'm saying by no means can medicine withhold a demon.
It depends on the power of the demon. My question to you would be, demons that are stronger than others.
Yeah,
According to the Bible, when a demon gets cast out, and the temple becomes empty, that demon goes and gets seven more stronger than him. There are rankings in demonic forces, so some are stronger than others.
Yeah,
you gotta understand. It said, "For we are legion,
many. We are
so
many."
So that man was—he was not just possessed by one demonic being.
He was possessed by many.
So that's why he was as strong as he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he had many backing him up. So that's what gave him his strength.
I'm quite sure it did, and I'm quite sure there could be legions that can make a man strong. I'm quite sure there could be one demon that can make a man strong. I'm quite sure there could be a lot of stuff. But since we're talking about demons, we're talking about supernatural stuff, stuff that isn't naturally experienced. We're talking about supernaturally stuff. So by any means, any demon possessing anybody,
right?
Is supernatural.
But listen, even in the supernatural,
I have another question for you.
No, before you even go there, because even in the supernatural, they still gave a number. Like, it still gave you, listen,
whether someone said one
or 10,000. We're giving you a number. Legion is like an army, man.
It doesn't make, no, a legion actually means 1,000. But
no,
I'm quite sure.
I'm quite sure
he has thousands and thousands, because he did say legions with an S. So I'm quite sure, you know, and since we read the Bible in such a literal way, I'm quite sure it meant thousands and thousands of demons that's inside him. I don't know how that's possible, but hey, if it's possible, so be it. But
sarcasm could have been one of them legions.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So my question to you is, this is my question. You're saying that these demons, these many legions of demons, or this one demon, you know, according to how powerful it is, basically, in order for these demons, because you're basically saying that all of these mental disorders in some kind of way has some type of, because it's wicked.
No, the possibility. Don't change our words.
No. I mean, what I heard earlier is you read that this world, we don't wrestle it by flesh and blood. We wrestle it by spirit.
You know,
so this is a spiritual warfare, right?
Yes, it's a spiritual
warfare. Okay, so if it's a spiritual warfare, you're saying that everything, when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, everything is spiritual.
Listen, Eric, listen to this.
Uh-huh.
We are spiritual beings living in a fleshly body.
That's my whole point to you. That's what I'm asking you. So everything that you guys are saying with all of these mental illnesses come down to it being a demon, ultimately.
That is not what we said.
That's not what you said now?
Listen, let me say it one more time just in case, you know, you got a hearing deficit or whatever. Mm-hmm. But let's just make it clear.
Okay.
All right. There's a difference in somebody that's born with a mental disability.
I'm not talking about retarded people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm talking about people who have mental illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolarism, depression.
So were they born with it?
Were they born?
Were they born bipolar? Answer the question.
Okay,
born bipolar?
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. I ain't got nothing else to say.
Okay,
if they
weren't
born with it, my brother, it had to come from somewhere. And until you can tell me where it came from,
what you're saying
has no validity. And I would say that if you was a
psychiatrist. My question to you is, I'm asking you, my question to you is, do all of these disorders ultimately come from some type of demon possession?
Let me ask you this question. What is a sound
that
mind?
Question.
What is a sound mind?
Don't know. Tell me.
No, I'm asking you. You got a dictionary right there?
No, I don't have a dictionary
sound?
Right there. So I'm asking you, you tell me what a sound mind is.
All right. We about to go, because everything I say, because I know you,
My question back to Apostle Lou is, you're saying that it must have come from somewhere if somebody was born with it. I'm not saying if someone's born with it or not. I don't know. So my question to you is, since you, you know, claim that you may know, if they are born with it or if they aren't born with it, is it possible that all of this stems from demon possession?
It's possible that it is, and it's possible that it's not.
It's possible that it is. So you're actually saying there are some things that aren't demon possessed, like bipolar may be not referring to a demon possession. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So
no.
My question to you. Oh.
No, I'm saying like this.
Yeah,
so
because
this,
I know Jay is saying that all of it comes from some type of demonic.
I'm saying
depression.
Like this. Whether you want how you want to label it, if you don't want to call it demonic thing, it could be considered a sickness. Because God, first of all, God, he tells us, listen, I don't give you the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. So it lets you know a sound mind is, it means healthy. It means
so you're saying somebody who isn't healthy mentally, whether they're born with it or they're not born with it, is not of God, correct?
No, I'm not saying that it's not
so
of God.
So what are you saying,
man? Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's an issue that God is willing to heal. It's an issue that needs to be dealt with through the Spirit of God.
Through the Spirit of God. So this is not something physical. This is something that's actually spiritual that affects the natural.
It is because it starts in the Spirit first.
Okay. We're getting somewhere. So you're
saying
that it is spiritual. And if it's not of God, it's the opposite of God. So if it's the opposite of God, it's demonic in some kind of way that God has to clean because it's referred to as an unclean spirit, whether you're born with it or not. Correct?
Yo, listen, if you're not born again in this world, just being according to the scripture, just being born in this world, if you're born in this world, you're born into sin.
The words of Apostle Lou, stay on topic.
Listen, I am on topic if you listen to me. All right? if you open up your mind and listen. My thing is like, I'm saying it's like this. My whole thing is like this. The fight that we're fighting in this world, it is a spiritual world. So
okay, and I agree with you.
No, hold up. So regardless of what is taking place in this world,
it comes back to ultimately it being a spiritual battle.
There is some type of spiritual
behind-the-scenes
battle taking place that you don't see.
So why can't you just say yes? That's what I just explained. My question to you is, if this ultimately comes down to something spiritual, if it's not of God, because God gives us sound minds, so if it's not of God, whether someone's born with it or whether someone gets it later on after their birth, you're saying that if it's the opposite of God, it's demon-possessed. Which also
just
even
say
if it's not demon possessed,
it's
demon.
It could be demon. Don't use words to try to.
It could be demon possessed. It could be demon oppressed. Whatever the case may be, it's totally opposite of God, and you're basically saying that it has to be cast out. Correct.
It needs to be either cast out, killed, set free, loosed.
By the Spirit.
Well, let
by
me
the
ask
Spirit.
What I just said.
Let me ask
by
a question.
By the Spirit, right?
Let me ask a question.
Yeah, come on, man.
Let me ask a question.
I'm asking
you a question, and you're not answering it.
I just told you.
How come you didn't say yes or no when I asked you the question?
No, because you added words, and I'm not going to say yes to just any word when you're adding something else to it.
I'm asking you a question based on what you just said.
No, you didn't.
Based on what you just said, I'm asking you a question based on
that. Everything is, Apostle Young, did we say that everything is demonically possessed?
Nope.
I said possessed or oppressed. But I didn't even say that. I'm saying that if it's not of God, it is against God, which is, if it ain't God's spirit, it must be the opposite of God's spirit. So I'm saying, in some kind of way, you're saying that everything ultimately comes down to the spirit because we are spirit beings. We are spirit beings inside a flesh. If that's the case, do all of these sicknesses that are actually demons in some kind of way, the only way it can be healed, you're saying, is through the spirit. That's what I'm asking.
I'm going to answer that.
Okay. Jay says no. How about you, Apostle Lou?
No.
Do you say yes or no?
You can't give me my answer for me.
You just said no.
Listen to me.
this is what I'm telling you like this.
Jay,
this
you
is
up
what
dancing.
I'm telling you. No, I ain't up dancing. What I'm telling you is like this. Yo, things of the spirit, a spiritual war that is taking place,
yes,
must be dealt with spiritually. You
okay,
cannot
I'm
kill
saying
it
the same
naturally.
Thing.
All right, so if I cut my arm, all right,
uh-huh,
and cut this flesh, right? I cut the flesh, my flesh right there, and it's bleeding. All right, I need a Band-Aid.
Yeah,
right,
but I'm not talking
saying,
about that.
I'm talking about
what actually makes you cut yourself.
That's what I'm
not
about.
Bleeding,
reason,
what makes you cut yourself.
The reason for me cutting my own wrist.
Exactly, the reason for cutting. Not the Band-Aid part. I could care less about that.
That's what I'm telling you. Yes, that's my answer.
So
yes,
you're basically saying, ultimately, it comes down to supernatural things, the spiritual realm. These are the reasons why things do the people do things opposite and contrary to God, which is having a sound mind. So whether or not you're born with it or not, because Apostle Lou just said there are some things that people are born with, like mental retardation. If that's the case, then you're saying that that's not of God. So it's something spiritual
that
has to be healed. Because you're ultimately saying everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Ultimately, like the big picture of it.
Do you
That's
know
why
story?
You read that scripture when it talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against...
Let me give you an example in the Bible. Do you know the story of an Apostle Young? I don't have the exact scripture in front of me, but you know when... I think the apostle was asking the question.
I haven't even disagreed
man.
With anything yet. I'm just asking a question.
Being born, I think he was born blind and deaf or something like that. And
who
they asked him, who sinned?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the sins of his father and mother? Did they do this to him?
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, no. He was born like for the glory of God.
Okay.
For God to get the glory, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Am I, Pastor Young, am I right in that area?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So my whole thing is like this. When Christ came to the world, all right, and this whole assignment is to bring healing and deliverance to the people that are captive, that are bound,
mm-hmm,
going through all different types of things. That's what our agenda is,
yep,
to bring the love of Christ, to bring healing. Many
yep
people have issues. All right?
Exactly.
Whether you're born, whatever ailment you're born with or mm-hmm whatever, the possibility is you can be healed through God. It's a possibility.
Okay.
So what I'm saying, but it is a spiritual thing. It's not
okay
a fleshly thing.
That's what I'm asking you.
And
that's what I'm
asking. That, but you don't
and I'm
jumping
saying
around
to you, I'm saying that you're saying ultimately everything comes down to the spirit realm.
Listen, why
because
don't you just answer your, just say what you're trying to say, man.
No, I'm,
you know
at,
I mean?
I'm asking
get
you questions. That's all I'm
it
doing is asking
no
you
but
questions.
We answered it, and you keep going like a
no,
like
you haven't answered
point
it. You have not
but
answered
I have.
It.
I just
no,
told you,
haven't you
it's spiritual.
Okay,
like,
okay,
do you
well, yeah,
hear?
Now, yeah, yes, you said it now.
I've been said that.
No, you haven't. But anyway.
Yes, I did. I've been said that.
Okay.
That it was spiritual.
Now, Apostle Lou, did you actually want to say something?
I'm going to say it like this, and I said it once, and I'm going to say it. I don't mind saying it again. All right. Is a person, let me ask this, is a person, and this ain't gay bashing or nothing like that, but is a person really born gay?
Are you asking me, or is that a rhetorical question?
It's a rhetorical question, but if you want to ask
oh
me, you
can. I personally actually believe that people are born gay.
Okay. Well,
and proof.
What's the proof of that? Where's your proof?
There has been a lot of case studies shown. I can tell you one of them if you like.
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of extensive. If you have, I mean, if you want me to tell you,
give us the generic
version,
layman's terms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a reason why I'm asking these questions.
Everybody,
everybody before they are, I believe, 7 weeks old or 8 weeks old, I believe, every fetus is actually asexual. They are born with male and female attributes. After the certain number of weeks, and after the certain number of weeks inside your mother's stomach, or uterus, I apologize. What happens is your sex is determined, and when your sex is determined, if you are a female, your mother pumps more estrogen in you. If you are a male, your mother pumps more testosterone in you. What happens a lot of times is, like I said, we are born with both sex genders. Males and females have the same things. Basically, what happens is, when you are a female, your sex organs grow into female the more estrogen your mother puts into you. You become a male when your mother pours more testosterone in you. There's a lot of times where, in rare cases, where mothers do not pour, if it's a male, they don't pour as much testosterone, and it may be more estrogen in. And that's why some men actually have female tendencies and female qualities, like men who actually can have milk come out of their breasts. There's a lot of other symptoms as well, but that's one of them. Yes, but go ahead.
So you're telling me now, you're telling me that it's a man around. It's a man somewhere, and I'm not saying that it's not possible, but that's been proven.
Yeah, to actually be honest,
you're talking about a morphodite?
No, I'm not talking about hermaphrodite, a person that has two sexual genders. I mean, two female and male organs. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying to you, I personally seen it happen. And you can actually look online and do some research on it yourself.
So it's the chemical that actually determines the sex. Or you're saying that chemical, that estrogen or
it's a chemical imbalance.
Well, no, I'm quite sure that's beside the point. Apostle Lewis makes the point.
I thought you was
making a point, not making a point out of my example that, I mean, you know, some test that I've given you. I thought you was making a point out of if somebody's gay or not. I mean, if somebody's born gay or not. That's my, whether somebody's born gay or not is beside the point. I was guessing that, you know, had nothing necessarily to do with your
question. Let's make this more generic.
Because
I don't want nobody to think we gay bashing. Is a person born a murderer?
From my knowledge,
is a person born a child molester?
From my knowledge, no. But I can be wrong.
We all agree that nobody's born a murderer. Nobody's born a child molester.
Mm-hmm.
All right. These are nobody's born a racist. Let's just break it down. Nobody's born a racist. Nobody's born to just automatically hate black people or white people.
It's something that you learn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, just like you learn how to hate a different race,
it was something
that was done in your life to make you act the way that you act. Would you agree? Whether you was taught, whether it was something you seen, or just it was something that you was around.
Are you referring to mental illnesses, or are you just talking about people's personalities?
Right now, I'm talking in general.
People's personalities. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a learned trait, and some of it's a learned trait, and then other things is you. It's just your makeup. It's who you are.
So you're telling me that it's in my makeup to just hate people?
No, I didn't say that. I said there's certain traits about you that is just you, and is that you can't change. But no,
I'm not talking about DNA. I'm talking about
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me ask this question.
No, no, wait, wait.
If
let
a man and woman was
finish,
born
finish,
on an island. If a man and woman
point.
Was born on an island, right? And it's a man and a woman on an island. They're born there. Do you, with no other influence from nobody outside, no television, no anything, do you think the man would be, do you think he would become gay?
I'll come back to that question later. I know what you call it, wanted to make a statement. You just cut him off in the middle of his story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to it.
Well, well, listen, everybody, all of us do that on here, so it happens. My bad. I apologize, but don't forget that question. Go ahead.
Okay.
My point is, and this is what I said earlier, because I'm going to make this quick so I can, you know, be quiet. The point I was trying to make was nobody's born to go against what they were born to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe that. All right. If you were born to be a male, you're supposed to be a male. No one is born a murderer. For a person to have the attributes of a murderer, something happened in their life to trigger those kinds of thoughts to manifest in their life. My question to you is,
mm-hmm.
if it's not through a spiritual realm, where did it come from? Especially if the mother wasn't a murderer and the father wasn't a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the attributes come from?
Well, like I said, I'm not disagreeing with you or agreeing with you. I would more so,
Mr. Neutral,
you weren't true about it, and I would definitely lean more toward it not being a demon possession.
Okay, so if you're not going to lean towards that, what else can you lean towards? Maybe that should be the question. What else could you lean towards?
My thing would be there are some people who are just born with unchemical balanced attributes about themselves, and
so there's
some
a chemical
people,
balance for murder.
Oh yes, oh and that's proven.
Oh, really?
That's actually
okay.
proven. Yes.
Okay.
Because
oh, so
because
you're, so you're
because
telling
there,
me
there are there
you're
are
telling
some there
me
are,
there's a chemical in me there's a chemical in me that if I don't have it. It's going to make me go out and kill somebody?
There may be something inside
of your
brain.
No, we ain't saying
maybe. And I'm about to say. No, because I don't know for sure. I'm not a doctor. I'm just giving you what the little information that I know about it. I'm
okay.
not asserting that it's true.
If there was
by no means I'm asserting that it's true.
If there was this such chemical that you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure in the 21st century, It would be some doctor, some chemist, somebody in this vast world of knowledge that we have that can
mm-hmm.
come up with a chemical to replace the chemical that causes people to murder.
And they do for some
okay.
people who have
what,
a problem
what is it
with
called?
Them.
What is it called?
I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't know.
Okay.
This
well,
is,
if there's any
not,
if there's any doctors that's listening,
my,
if there's any doctors that are listening,
expertise.
Could you please call us? And tell us what is the name of the medication that is obvious that's not being used because it's still murdering going on.
No,
right.
No. You have to understand there are people who actually murder for other reasons. Somebody may murder.
But if you go by
because,
what you're saying,
no,
they,
it's
they're
not.
They're murdering
not.
Because they have a chemical
Hold
imbalance.
On.
I'm talking about
right
somebody.
Here.
I'm talking about.
One
I'm
second,
talking about the people
second.
Who
we
we're
got,
referring
we got
to.
We got a minute left here, and. We're on the air
oh,
one
sorry.
Minute. We're going to continue
okay.
this on. But to all our listeners out there that may be listening right now, you'll be able to hear the conclusion of this conversation if you listen to the archive message. After the show, you can go on to Blog Talk Radio and go on to Dirty Church Radio, and you can listen to this episode in its entire and its full version of it. So we hope all of y'all have a blessed night out there. And listen, like we said, we encourage y'all to call in to Dirty Church Radio
to talk to the host, Minister Jay Miller, Brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate Bradley, and our Apostle Lewis Young. Listen, we appreciate that you take the time to listen to this show. Be blessed. We love you. And we'll hope to hear from you soon. God bless. Listen, this is the off-the-air version. This is the bonus round of Dirty Church. We're no longer live. The only ones who actually hear this is the ones that go back and listen to the archives of this whole message, this whole talk show, this whole version right here. So, brothers, let y'all continue to, you know, take off where we stopped off.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to relinquish the floor. If you can't prove to me that you're born with it, then you need to tell me where it comes from. And that's all I'm going to say in reference to it, because if you can't prove to me that a person is born bipolar, or if you can't prove to me that a person is born a murderer, then you have to explain to me. I need some clinical psychologist to explain to me where does it come from, especially if the parents does not show any traits of murder, if the grandparents don't show any traits of murder, even the great-great-great-great-grandparents don't show any traits of murder, where does the trait come from?
Okay, I'll say this with the very layman's point of view that I may have toward it. Like I said, I am no expert on it. I'm not a psychiatrist or any other type of medical doctor. But from a lay point stand of view, what I could say is that just because someone kills does not mean that they have a mental illness. People kill for a lot of reasons. Police officers kill to protect. A father would kill to protect. Someone else would kill because it's their job to. So everybody has lots of other reasons, I mean, to kill. I mean, it goes from I need food or whatever. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about someone who may be a serial killer or, you know, those type of people who actually have problems and cannot or feel as though they can't help themselves doing so. Now, I'm quite sure, and not once do I disagree with you, that there could have been something that may have triggered them to actually take on that trait of killing somebody. But some doctors and some scientists, they actually say that all it took or all it needed to take was something to trigger something for that person to be this way because they were chemically imbalanced mentally. That's all I'm saying.
So the argument then with you is what the something is.
Yeah, well, no, that's not necessarily arguing. I mean, the argument with me or the debate, because, I mean, I agree with it, and by me finding out is I would just have to do research, and if there are answers out there, I'm quite sure that I'll come up with some answers.
Well, I certainly hope that you can come up with some, and until you come up with some,
like I said, don't take my word for it. I mean, you know,
you're playing a role. So it's not you. When I say you, I'm not
talking about generally.
Aaron. I'm talking general.
Yeah,
all
I hear
right.
You.
Let's just make that clear. I'm not talking to Aaron.
Okay.
I'm talking in general. And to somebody that can come on here with some definitive answers to where they I'm talking about some proof of where they feel that these attributes come from, I have to go by the fact that there's something in most cases, maybe not in all cases, but in most cases, the something is demonic possession or oppression.
Okay.
Just
and,
like,
and
guy,
like I said, you don't necessarily have to wait until somebody to come on here because there is information
okay,
out there
we're
that
we're
going to
even search further on this topic. It's even like probably
later on as we do this, this is a subject that we will touch back on. Like we will, like this topic right here is not over with. We will
okay,
touch
so what,
back
what
on
was
this.
The question you asked me before? You some.
No, I was saying that if a man and a woman, they were born, a boy and a girl, they're born on an island, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not influenced by the outside of anything, TV,
yes.
You know, gay, they're not being touched, molested, they're not doing anything,
mm-hmm.
and they grow up. Do you think that young man will grow up gay?
Yes, because I just said that it's something that somebody's born with. It's not necessarily something that's learned.
Well, let me interject right quick. it's been statistically proven that I believe it's 87% of males that's stating that they're gay are stating that because of an outside influence.
And I would never, ever, ever, ever contest to that. That may be true. But how about the 20%?
All right. Well, the 20%, that's not saying that they believe that they was born gay. They just saying
okay.
that they're gay. That 20% might be saying they gay because just from a feeling. But the 87%, the 87% or whatever number was, I think I said 87%. The 87% that I'm referring to, they're saying that they're gay because of an influence. Somebody touched them. Somebody molested them. All right? And I'm talking about there's gay men that's saying that they're gay because they was molested by a woman.
I'm quite sure people have many reasons or whatever
so,
the case is.
But that's a high percentile for people to say that they're gay because some man or some woman touched them in the developmental stage and that messed them up mentally.
Yeah, but it still doesn't talk for all. And I do agree with you. There are some people, just like when it comes to any type of mental disorder, I'm not necessarily saying that homosexuality is a mental disorder. I'm not saying that at all. But there could be a lot of reasons people are the way they are. But in the same fashion that you were actually saying that you were born a heterosexual, and it's the same way other people may say, I was born gay. And it's normal for them to like the same sex. But it's normal for you to like the opposite sex. And I don't know why that is so complicated.
I'm going to stop.
To actually understand. It's not necessarily even up to you whether or not to accept it. Who cares? How does that affect you as a person? That's not necessarily a question. It's rhetorical. But, you know, I was just kind of saying it doesn't make a difference.
I brought that point up just to state. This here right here, all right? Unless you can show me that a murderer is born a murderer, I have to conclude that the influence to murder had to come from somewhere.
And
we
I agree with you on that.
I agree with that.
Yes, I do.
Just like the boy who killed in Columbine, where he, you know, they went in there and, you know, shot up all the kids. You know, it's been so many episodes like that at Virginia Tech College, you know, different places where stuff like that happened. Me personally, I believe that it's a spiritual wickedness in the behind the scenes with that.
Yeah.
Even though we see the result of it being done by the flesh, by the person that we can see with our naked eye.
Well, it can't be done any other way. It has to be done through the flesh because you can't
no.
see spirits.
Yeah, but when you can't see it. That
yeah.
and that's the whole thing that makes this conversation so interesting is because
talking with the advocate, you know.
It makes you people delusional. That's what it makes you people.
Yeah, but it, according to us, it makes you, you know what I'm saying?
Spiritless.
No.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yeah, but,
yes.
It,
yes.
But
yes.
In all actuality,
yes.
It can't make me spiritless because I am a spirit trapped inside a fleshly body. I just don't realize it, I guess.
Yeah,
but
your,
I
spirit,
guess,
your spirit,
yeah.
Man, could be dormant as well.
Uh-huh.
Spirit,
yeah.
Your spirit, if,
yeah.
If you don't exercise your spirit man can become dormant, sleep, unaware.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
having
absolutely
no
right.
Spiritual recollection.
There you go.
Right?
Amen, my brother. I
and,
hear
and
that.
That's what a lot of people find themselves because they're so naturally knowledge based to where they have no clue of spiritual things. Because this spiritual man has been seared with the consciousness of natural knowledge.
So my question to you is, Jay, you're saying that, again, basically it all comes down to the spiritual warfare with all any sickness, any disease, any of these things. It comes down to the spiritual warfare.
No, I'm saying the warfare is spiritual.
Yeah.
And then you add whatever you want to add to it. The fight that we fight in the spiritual. So whatever that consists of, however you want to put it, that's what I'm saying.
So my question
war.
To you is, if that's the case, how come there are some things that you refer to that is only spiritual? How come there are things that actually can be cured and healed through medicine, through physical, natural means?
But you got to understand, listen,
uh-huh.
Because it's healing the flesh. It's the flesh.
Excuse me?
No.
But you're actually saying that these. I'm not talking about being having a cold. I'm talking about mental illnesses that you claim are demon possessions.
What?
Wait a minute.
What's being,
hold up. Now, you said that they're healed through medication. That ain't that what you just said?
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. There are some
who
people that are
healed. They healed.
The people that actually are taking the medication and they say they don't want to do the things or they're not being controlled by.
If they're healed, hold up. If they healed, wait a minute.
Yep.
If they stop taking the medication, what's going to happen? Especially if they go back to doing what they was doing. Can you then say that they healed?
Now, I may have another statement for you where people don't actually take medication, but people actually take therapy.
When people take therapy, they actually
become cured from it, whether they go back in that same environment or not. They're actually cured from it.
No, I don't. That's malarkey, Doc.
Okay,
Listen,
you don't have to take my word for it. I'm not an expert on it. You can go and do the research yourself.
Listen, I know schizophrenic people that take medicine for it. And without the medicine, they are schizophrenic.
I believe that. Quite sure they are.
So, but what I'm talking about, the whole thing is it, the spiritual healing, and that's what Jesus came for.
So basically, you're actually arguing the God of the gaps. So basically, if we don't have answers to something right now, you're saying it must be God. But what if it's, well, I know for a fact that we'll come to a day where they will have cures for the sicknesses and illnesses that we deem can't be cured because it's demon possession, and the only way it can be cured is through faith healing. When they actually come up with medicines that actually can heal all these things, because you have to remember, at times people said about certain situations that hey, this thing can't be healed, it can't be cured, and
but
then they came up
there
with medicines.
Yet, sir.
And fixed
they ain't got a pill for murderers.
When they get a pill
to make people stop murdering, then I'll clap and agree with what you're saying. But we ain't there yet.
I'm not talking about murdering.
Let's not.
See, you're using. All right. If I got an issue
all right, where I got an anger problem. All right, you can give me something that calms me down, that makes me calm. All right? But whatever, normally what man gives you something, it's just something that suppresses it. Well, I'm talking about being
made
whole
drug
in
addict.
The situation.
Okay.
Well, legal drug whole, addict. That's
on,
all they are.
Not on top of,
like
not I said. On top of that. Read the side effects to the medicines.
You give me.
That you're giving.
Like I said, you are arguing
the
from the argument
of
God.
Make you worse.
You're giving me arguments from the God of the gap, saying that because there's no answer to it naturally now, it has to be something spiritual. I'm saying there has been instances where the same question came up where
but
they
Aaron,
didn't have an answer.
You
and then
that
it actually
you.
Fixed
well,
the situation,
you
and
too,
then God
saying,
is totally wiped out of that because
like
it was
you can't see spiritually,
it was actually
what
fixed.
You're saying, what you can't see spiritually doesn't exist because you can't see it.
It has nothing to do with seeing. It has everything to do with measure and to know that it actually exists.
That's what I'm saying. So it's back to what's tangible.
So it has nothing to do with physical eyes because you can't necessarily see radioactives, but they exist.
Yes, they do exist.
Exactly.
You know
so
what?
I'm saying it has
and
nothing
listen,
to do with
up.
The eyes
hold
per
up.
Se.
Hold up. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question.
But you're talking about spiritual, like, you're,
hold
okay.
up, hold up. When you smile, right, when you smile
uh-huh.
or you get happy or you get sad, right,
uh-huh.
and you have
it's chemical neurons actually running through my body, through my brain, through all of
what
my cells to actually make me do these things.
Hold up, but what makes the chemical neurons exist?
What are you going to say, God?
No, I'm asking you.
Like I said, no, I'm not a biologist, nor am I a mental.
You know what?
Man, a mental. So
them,
I don't know.
Having, man, you be having them little cop out responses, man.
You can say what
every
you want to say. I'm not an expert on this, but
you claim
expert on it, though.
No,
you actually
no,
claim
no.
assertion to all of these
now,
things
now,
that you're saying.
Now listen, we don't like
I don't do
on
that.
Dirty church radio. We don't like
I don't
lies
do
on
that.
Dirty church radio.
And nobody.
Ho 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 ho!
Nobody claims to be an expert on here. So now you're saying that we say something that we're not.
Listen, you are saying with absolute that it's demon possession. You are saying in absolute that it's
no,
a spiritual
no, no,
oh, thing.
No, listen,
that's what you're saying.
Yo, listen, according
I'm
to
saying,
the word,
I'm saying,
according
I don't,
to the word of God, it is a
that,
spiritual thing.
That you believe, that you say it's true. All I'm saying is I can't assert anything because I'm not an expert on it. Now, if I was a biologist, I would give you proof, but I can't give you that type of proof because I'm not an expert on it. That's all I'm saying. But I can tell you from a layman's point of view, and you could go do the research yourself, but I can tell you from a layman's point of view on some of the views and some of what experts may say concerning these issues. But can I give you evidential proof? No, I can't because I'm not an expert on it. I didn't go to school for 20 years. If I did, you would take my word for it. And if you didn't take my word for it, then you would be the crazy one.
In the same way you don't have 100 proof that we can't show you spiritual proof and make it physical for you to see with your eye.
Listen to me.
Because
you are comparing apples with oranges. I'm saying
just,
I can't
just,
give you the proof because I'm not an expert.
No,
but the proof is out there. The proof actually is out there.
Where?
Do your research.
No,
do your
there's
research.
No research that's going to prove that a murderer is born a murderer.
And listen,
I never said
you,
a murderer is born a murderer. I didn't say that. I agreed with you, Apostle Lou, on that.
I showed you my evidence according to the word. Because that's what we're speaking from.
And I didn't say.
I showed you my evidence.
I'm saying that you are asserting truth.
According to me,
asserting
the
truth.
The word is the truth. I don't think that's first century
Of course.
Stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And the only way, the only way you can, the only way you can actually show me is through the Bible. But there are books upon books upon books upon books upon books upon books.
Why you always use that first century thing to try to make what you sound like, to make this sound like it has no purpose and no meaning and no power behind it by you calling it first century?
No,
I say first century
because it is exactly that. Because you do not live in the matrix that these people lived in during that time. So by the definition, by the definition alone, it's dated.
This word, though,
is dated, and you pick and choose. And you pick and choose what you believe and what you don't believe. That's all you do. You pick and choose, and it's a very, very arbitrary book that you can make. You can make it seem it whatever you want.
Well, hold up, fellas. Hold up, fellas.
It's that way to you.
Hold up.
Because when a person chooses, all right, to not accept faith, or they don't have faith, all right, according to the Bible, the scripture,
the Bible says every man has a measure of faith.
Yeah, again,
it says every man has
a measure of faith. But you know what? You can allow certain things that you learn in this earth realm to chip on that faith until there's no more faith left.
Really? So you don't have no more faith left? People lose all their faith.
Do you?
Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible where somebody could totally lose all of their faith.
Show me
in the Bible.
Show
me in the Bible, son. Show me in the Bible, son. Show me in the book that you just said that you abide by within every rule. Show it to me.
Say that again?
Show me the book.
You just said
that this is the book you get your truth from. So if that's the case, show it to me.
What you want to see?
What you just said that you can prove. That somebody could totally lose all of their faith.
You want me to show you that in the scripture on here?
Yeah. You said that you are going by this book to give you evidence. So for the people out there who don't believe in this type of evidence, give them that proof.
Now, I'm going to say this. Tonight, though, on this conversation, we the only ones got a book. I ain't heard you read from that book yet to solidify your point. At least we got a book.
Yeah. Well,
where's yours?
Just to let you know, I'm not solidifying anything.
From different articles and clippings that he read. From different
I'm not taking the position.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though, Aaron?
Yes, I do. This is my point.
All right. At the end of the discussion,
mm-hmm.
we don't have no other book, especially if we're going by what we're hearing from you. Because if there was a book that had the answers that you're giving, you would be able to tell us where we could go buy it, where we could go read it for ourselves.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. We're saying tonight that the scriptures that we quoted came mm-hmm. from, a first century book that you could go to any Barnes & Noble and pick up and read.
Yes.
All right? And until somebody can tell us about a book that's going to tell us something about a person being born a murderer or whatever, or mm-hmm. chemical imbalance that makes them do what they're doing, we got to go by the book that's on the floor tonight. And that book is the Word of God.
And Lou, I don't disagree with you on that.
All right.
I'm with you there. I mean, I have nothing necessarily to go against that. You're right.
All right. In all fairness, he's not
a clinical psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a degree in psychology. So,
none of us claim to have.
Okay, but hold up. Wait a minute. In all fairness,
with a discussion this vast, when it's dealing with the mind, all right, and dealing with the spirit, he is kind of, you know, especially playing a role as a devil advocate, he is a little handicapped. So he's doing what he's doing on the knowledge that he has on the subject. So I understand what he's saying about not being an expert, you know, blah 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 blah. But even in the flip side of that, even the expert's not going to be able to come on here and tell us that there's a book that's going to tell us that it's going to prove that a person is a murderer because of a chemical imbalance. Because if that was the case, they would find out how to make the person have a chemical imbalance so that they don't be a murderer. That would make them the richest person in the world, especially from a pharmaceutical standpoint.
And
so,
I mean,
even an expert is not going to come on here and tell me or convince me without some proof that there's a chemical reason or a chemical imbalance in a person that makes them be a murderer. A person is a murderer because, number one, they choose to be, and something has influenced their choice to do it. It don't have nothing to do with no chemical imbalance.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily want to take the position of saying that I know for a fact. I don't know for a fact.
Okay.
So I mean, you know.
Now and then, all right, I'm not gonna sit here and say, in all fairness, because this is my job to keep the balance. I'm not gonna sit here and say with an assurance that all people that's out here doing what they're doing is demonically possessed by a devil. But I'll say this, a high percentage of them is influenced by a spirit.
No, but basically you're saying based on your faith, you're saying that ultimately it is a warfare going on between the demonic spirits, which is Satan, and the good spirits, which is God, and you know, all of his, you know, his side. So basically, the knowledge that you are giving on this show comes from your book, and you're saying that this is the only book that you can go by is because that's what you believe.
It's not just about believing. Like I said a few minutes ago, as of tonight, that is the only book that has been read. That's the only book that we could go by because don't nobody else, the devil advocate, don't have another book that can be read.
And you know what? And that's why we said, listen, we want people to call in, regardless of what background they come from or what they're connected to. Call in, and if you got information on this subject, speak on it. What if you got a book, give us something from the book. That's what the whole thing about Dirty Church is. Even though we use the Bible, it doesn't mean that we expect everyone else to come with a Bible. We want to hear views from every side, but we're going to speak from what we look at as our book. So
and that's why I say you, on. That's why I say you, give me scripture. Prove it to me. If it's in that book, prove it to me. And you, and
Paul,
I mean,
said,
you know.
Okay, I can prove it to you right now. Paul
mm-hmm.
said that I would do good, but evil is always present.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Romans, right?
Yeah.
I would do good. In other words, it's in me to always do good. But even though I always, in my mind, I always want to do good, evil is always present. So that means if I'm not careful, there's a presence around me that's going to influence me to do the things that I know I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. There was a couple of questions I posed, and it hasn't been answered, and you guys.
Okay,
what was that? Go back and answer them. What was it?
Well, one of the questions when I was referring to what are some of the symptoms for demonic possession, because in order to depict a possession by a demon, you have to know the traits of it. And the only way you can know the traits of it is by the book of faith that you guys read and the examples that's shown in it. So I'm saying, are there any other stories besides the man that Jesus healed when he got off of the boat who showed signs of demonic possession? Are there any other stories concerning that to let people know what are other symptoms? Because if there are other symptoms and these people have these symptoms, maybe they're demon-possessed. But they would never know unless somebody tells them. And it has to be by the book.
All right. Y'all keep talking. I'm going to find some.
And then my other question is, can you also give me some, is there stories in the Old Testament when somebody was demon-possessed?
Now, what does the Old Testament have to do with it? I already know what you're going to say, but what?
No, because it's in the Bible, and I want to know of some earlier test. Since we're only going by this one book, and the Bible cannot reference to any other book. Since we're going by this one book, and you know Christians live by this book because this book has every answer in it. I want to know the history behind it, and if that's the case, I want to know: are there more stories, and are there some in the Old Testament?
I'm looking. Hold on.
Okay.
But go ahead. Keep talking. Go ahead. What you were saying?
Oh, and then it was also another question that I had. It can deal with this, but it's not necessarily concerning this. It's talking about the spirit. We refer to Jesus not actually, or the Holy Spirit had not coming until the day of Pentecost. I would ask, so you're saying that the Holy Spirit never came until that day?
I'm saying that the Holy Spirit, hold up. No, before that, because John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost when him and Jesus, when they was in their mother's stomach.
All right.
In that scripture. And that's before. Hey,
Y'all got your Bible?
I got them. Yeah.
All right. Matthew 4:24.
Okay.
You said Matthew 4:24?
Somebody get that. Matthew 4:24.
Okay. And his fame went throughout all Syria. That one?
Yeah.
And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them.
Matthew 8:16.
Well, with that one, where are the symptoms? Tell me the symptoms.
I told you the Bible don't say nothing about no symptoms. I said that 2 hours ago.
No, but it does talk about symptoms, because when it's referring to the man with the lesion, it tells the symptoms that he had.
Okay. Well, you said show you in the Bible
where the symptoms.
Way. All right. And those which were lunatic, right? And it says, and that is to be insane. All right, and I'm going to go, hold up. We're going to go a little further. But go ahead. Y'all keep talking.
And then you also have to find the definition of lunatic, because I know one actual definition of lunatic and crazy would be someone actually talking against the king, especially during first century. When someone talks against the king, they were considered a lunatic.
It was considered a lunatic because the king, to do that, would be like, yo, man, you must be crazy, Nick, because the king will kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, that could be referred to in that angle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you crazy.
You must
be crazy if you'll do that, especially when you know the repercussions behind it.
Well, then if that was the case, if that's the case, then Jesus must have been crazy, because he definitely did it as well.
You said, what did Jesus do?
Jesus actually spoke against people of authority.
But he spoke,
He was speaking against people an authority, right? But who was actually speaking?
Okay, come on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 32, 33.
Chapter 9,
verses 32, 33. You want some symptoms? Here you go.
All right. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel.
All right. I'm going to give you some. You want some more, Aaron?
Yeah, I want a whole lot more.
All right.
I mean, no, I mean, it's not necessarily for me per se, but I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I still want to, so you're saying that one, his symptom was being dumb?
That's what, I'm just giving you what the Bible is saying, Doc. If you want some, I'm giving them to you.
I'm with you. I'm with you on it.
Well, you know, the word,
okay, go to 12 and 22. Matthew 12 and 22.
Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw.
So you're saying that being blind and being dumb is demon possession. Well, you're not saying it. The Bible's saying it.
No, what he's saying, what it's saying is,
it's saying that the person
who
was deaf and dumb was demon
possession. It made them blind and dumb.
Okay, I don't know the difference, but okay. It didn't say that, but no, it didn't say that. You read into that, but I mean, okay.
Then was one brought unto him, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 32.
Mark chapter 1. You said Mark what?
Chapter
1,
verse
32? Okay. All right. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him.
Okay. Still waiting for some symptoms, but okay.
It might not have been one, but hey.
Yeah,
and I know you're trying to say,
hold up, I'm going to give you some symptoms right here. The work of evil spirits cause dumbness, deafness, blindness,
commentary,
previous vexation, uncleanness.
You're reading commentary.
What you mean? It's still giving.
You're reading commentary. You're reading commentary.
You know, I can back it up with every scripture with it, though.
You're, like I said, you're reading commentary.
I can still back it up with scripture.
I'm quite sure you can. You can back up anything you want with scripture. I can back up that killing is okay with scripture.
Yeah, I bet you could.
I bet you could.
And you know what?
Hey, yo,
you actually
yo,
can
go
too.
To, hold up. Go to what is this? Hold up. What is that joint? What is it? I think Matthew 17 and 16. What is Matthew 17? Yeah. Let me try that one.
Oh, no, 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 no. Go to Acts 8 and 7, and then I'm done with this one. I'm done with this one. I'm done. Done with this.
You said Acts. All right.
Acts 8,
it's
chapter 7, verse.
All right. Seventh chapter, the eighth verse, right?
No. Eighth chapter, seventh verse.
Okay. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taking with palsies and that were lame were healed. That one?
Yeah, that one.
So you're saying people that are lame and have cerebral palsy?
Read the, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out the many that were possessed with them. That's
so,
the difference, brother.
So you're saying that they actually scream? They
yes.
scream and they have...
I got one. Matthew 17, start at the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour.
So you're saying that...
That's what the word is saying.
Okay, yeah,
he was throwing himself in the fire. He was throwing himself in fire.
He was hurting himself.
Yeah.
Okay,
he was hurting himself. That's another example.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. So the guy, the only two examples I heard are those two. The one guy who actually went out.
But you said find another one. It was. But I'm going to find some more for you.
Okay.
I got to find some more for you.
The ones that I heard so far are the guy who actually was hurting himself and he has superhuman strength. And the other guy was throwing himself into fire and still living. So he was hurting himself too. So these... I'm hearing that these are the things of demon possession. Somebody who's actually dumb, somebody who's blind, somebody who has cerebral palsy, somebody who screams. All of these are symptoms of demon possession.
So now we can get some more of them.
I have no problem. I'm tallying them up.
Listen,
yeah,
regardless of how sarcastic the devil's advocate voice sounds,
I'm not being sarcastic.
The only reason I'm asking you for these.
I'm not saying that they're not there. I'm asking you for them because I want to know the symptoms of demon possession.
Hold up. Read Mark 9:9-20.
Read what now?
I think it's Mark 9:20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him,
and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming.
There you go. What you got to say about that?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking for the symptoms.
Seems like your advocacy is getting a little weak. No, it's not. Not at all.
I want to know the difference between, because all of these symptoms that you're showing me,
it doesn't necessarily fit under bipolar.
Well, you got to understand, this is a first century book, as you quote.
Exactly.
And they might not have had the proper terminology to
suit your intellect.
Yeah, to suit your intellect. It would have been the same symptom, though.
Because of the
vicious and the thousands. And the vicious and the thousands actually come from your boy. It didn't come from God.
It came from the person that translated the original text. That's where it came from.
No, it actually came from poetry.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so first of all, do you know it came from what's the poet's name?
Shakespeare.
Okay, so King James hired Shakespeare to translate the original Hebrew text.
No, Shakespeare had very much influence.
No, he didn't. Ask Jay. First of all, my friend, not to toot my horn or anything, but I know for a fact Shakespeare didn't have no influence on King James and who he hired to transcribe the original Hebrew text.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. No, okay. Then you're gonna have to show me some proof that King James put Shakespeare on the council of people that translated the Hebrew original text and translated it into an English dialect.
Okay.
William Shakespeare didn't have nothing to do with it. Now, he had something to do with it after the translation was done, but when the translation was being done, William Shakespeare wasn't nowhere to be found.
Did you understand how it actually worked?
Yes, I know. I know exactly how it worked. He hired the people that he wanted to translate the original Hebrew. To make it so that white people are superior. I know all about the story. I know the whole story. And William Shakespeare didn't have nothing to do with it. He didn't pay William Shakespeare to do anything. William Shakespeare's name is not even mentioned in the list of people that he paid.
Okay.
Now when you start talking about biblical history, I know what I'm talking about.
Know about that, but okay.
Okay, all right. I got papers to prove what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. Now, if you want to see them and you want to verify my stuff, I got papers to back up what I'm talking about.
No, we can actually put it to test. We can actually put it to test one day.
All right. Well, guess what? You got the internet. I guarantee you, you pull up the internet and find out Shakespeare's influence. His influence was after the original Hebrew text was transcribed.
My answer to you was Shakespeare had something to do with the Bible, and Shakespeare didn't write his own Bible. Shakespeare actually was a part of the King James version of the Bible. The poetry, how it's actually the thou and thou'ts and how it's actually written, Shakespeare had a lot to do with that.
Okay. He had a lot to do with it after... Okay. This really has nothing to do with the topic, but
no. Jay
has nothing to do with the topic. But
I know,
I'm Jay's telling
looking
you,
for stuff. We're just
influence was after the original text was transcribed.
First of all, it wasn't original because there's nothing necessarily original about the text. But my
transcribed from the original scrolls, Aaron.
There are.
And the original scrolls was written in Hebrew.
There aren't any original scrolls, and no, and.
Well, that let me know right there. You don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Tell me this. You tell me what the whole Bible was written in.
The Bible was written in Hebrew and in Greek.
Okay. You tell me that they actually translated the Bible from the first language that they actually translated the Bible from was actually Hebrew and Greek?
Hebrew and Greek. Aaron.
And you're telling me that was the first translation from Hebrew and Greek to English?
Yes.
No, it was not.
Okay.
It didn't go in that order.
Okay, well, what order did it go in, Aaron?
First of all, the Old Testament is actually Hebrew. The New Testament is actually Greek.
Okay, ain't that just said?
No, I mean, no, you didn't. I just made it a little bit more specific. No, you didn't say
that. Okay, well, okay. Now you're playing. The original, the Old Testament was in the Hebrew. The New Testament was in the Greek. What was it translated from? What was it originally translated from then?
Okay, first of all, you have Coptic, you have Syrian, you have Italian, then you have English. And then there's so many other, you have the Greek, you have Gregorian, you have, I can keep going down the list. You have so many translations before I actually got to the English translation because English wasn't necessarily the first language.
Okay, let's make this clear.
And not only that,
King James' purpose was to translate the Hebrew and Greek into an English translation. Now, all that other stuff you're talking about, that ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about King James paid to have the original Hebrew and Greek translated into an English dialect.
Okay.
All that other stuff you're talking about, you're going around the bush. The point I'm not saying that the English translation was the first translation. I never said that.
I said he translated the
original Hebrew and Greek into an English dialect. So if you're going to quote me correctly.
Okay, not only that, but to come back to it, that is not the original scrolls. It's not, because they have no originals. They have no original.
All right. And where are you getting this information from?
From every biblical scholar, every college that you may go to that have some type of validity in actual historical evidence dealing with the Bible and dealing with the text, there are no original copies of any book of the Bible. They don't have any.
All right. Well,
they have copies
of
copies.
That's not what. That's not what Texas
Christian.
That's not what Texas Christian teach. And Texas Christian is one of the highest ranking biblical colleges in the USA.
Well, you go back to them and you tell them that they screwed you over, because there's no possible way that they can actually teach you that these are the original texts from first century. They don't have any original texts. There's none that exist.
So what are they displaying right now? And what museum was that?
No. You don't even have to name the museum. I'll let you know what they're displaying. They're displaying copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. They do not have one whole book in the first century. They don't even have it. A whole book is not actually found until maybe like the second, maybe like the third or fourth or fifth century after, when they actually found a whole. They have no original manuscripts. They have copies of manuscripts. And where most of copies came from was during the Middle Ages, because monks actually copied. That's when a lot of copies were actually made of the Bible. But there is no original text found, none, from first century antiquity. There isn't any. And that I know for a fact.
Okay, but as you still haven't given me anything to back up what you're saying.
you can go to any scholar website. You can go to any scholar college. You can go anywhere where is no type of fluke school. Where
oh,
there
when
is
you say fluke school, what do you mean by that?
Meaning that where you are actually being taught is actual is an actual consensus within this is what you have to be taught within a curriculum of true historical evidence dealing with the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about a school where you go in some backyard somewhere, and I'm loosely saying that in the sense of they just teach you their beliefs. But if you go to any recognized scholar who knows anything about the Bible, those commentaries that you read in Bibles, even the translations that you read in Bibles, all of those scholars who actually work on those things, who actually work to
now,
translate
Aaron,
the Bible.
Hold on, let me ask you. You just said about the original text. Now, what did you just say? You said there's no what? No, there's no what?
There is no original text.
There aren't any original texts. There are copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. That's what I'm saying. But we're just passing this time to wait for you to come up with whatever you say you was going to come up with some more synthesis.
No, go ahead and talk. Go ahead. I'm looking up some stuff here.
All right. Yeah. Well, like I said, there aren't any original copies. Historians would love to have original copies of the Bible, but there isn't any. There is none. And they said that the first, I could be wrong on this, but the first passage or the first piece of text that they actually found was the size. I forget what book it was from. Thessalonians, Corinthians. It was from one of those books. It was actually the size of a credit card, and it was written on the front and in the back, and that was even dated, I think, in the second century. But there isn't any original copies of any text in the first century. None. You are reading copies of copies of copies of copies. I don't know how many times I would have to say copies. That's why there are so many textual variants within the text, within the scrolls and you know all of the stuff that they found, because there's so many copies of this one book. That's why you can see so many mistakes, and you can see how it is different, because monks and people who actually wrote the book down, who copied these books down, they copied it by hand. There wasn't no print and press back then. There wasn't thing where it was just digitizing out books. These people had to write it hand for hand, and that's how they actually got copies of what you see. Well, not even what you see now, because, like I said, it was found in fragments. There were no whole books of anything. The Bible was not canonized until centuries later. Jay, have you found it yet?
No, I was reading something on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does say, unfortunately, none of these original manuscripts exist today. Well over 3,000 years have passed since Moses first penned the book of Genesis. None of his own writings has survived, but copies have been made down through the centuries. The scribes who made these copies were extremely careful as they did their work. We know this because there are over 5,000 complete or partial copies of the originals, actually copies of copies. Yet these thousands of copies, which predate the printing press, agree with each other to an amazing extent. There is no major variation in any of them. No other book from ancient times has this much underlining document support. So we are sure we have the original text as it came from the mind of God.
And that part right there is in fact, because that's what scholars debate with on a consistent basis. But again, I mean, that's beside the point. But you ain't supposed to be looking that up. You're supposed to be looking up.
But that was interesting. I wanted to see that. No, I'm looking right here. Hold on, 1 second. It was right here. You said you wanted to hear something in the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
I would like to hear.
No, about people being possessed by demons. I would like to hear anything. I don't care what you got. Anything is sufficient for me.
All right. Says then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech.
Is that saying that
a spirit can be influencing to do something?
Because if you say that, then you're saying that God actually sends out demonic possessions. Because that scripture you just said, you said God did it.